just thank him for that this evening. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercies, they have followed me. So glad you found sing it to him once more. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercies have followed me. So glad you found
that you're the Lord tonight. Amen. I tell you this, why he's our chief shepherd of our soul. Let's all stand as we sing that once more. Just continue playing as Brother Terrence comes for the opening service with prayer. If you have a need upon your heart, just take it to the Lord in the unity of the faith. We have enough faith right here in this building to make things move by the Spirit. Amen. And it's the confidence that we have when we approach the throne that, you know, the scripture says if we don't have any condemnation in our heart, when we approach him, we can speak and the Lord will hear us. Amen. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours.
Let's see one with us. We got a thank you note here that we need to read. It says, to our church family, we appreciate your phone calls, your prayers, the beautiful flowers, and the outstanding delicious meal you all prepared for the family and friends. You received many compliments on the meal. We are very grateful for all you and thankful to be a part of a special church family. We love you all, the Smallwood family. And also it says, thank you sincerely for your kind expression and sympathy and thoughtfulness. It is deeply appreciated and will always be remembered by the family of John H. Smallwood. So just remember that. We thank you for taking care of the family. Still remember the family and keep them in your heart. See, we got a request here. It says Sister Alice Moody. I think Sarah said she goes to Brother Luke Gibson's church, is having surgery tomorrow to remove a mask the size of 2 watermelons, she said. So remember our sister tomorrow as we pray. Brother Donnie had one this morning for his little puppy. Remember him, Mickey. So remember the little dog this morning, from this morning. And Brother Rhino had a testimony that said the heart doctor of my dad's heart is normal. So we thank the Lord for taking care of Brother Rhino's dad. Brother Anderson, we're glad he made it back. We'll remember that. And also remember Brother Dick, he is getting some blood today. So remember that. And he's got a doctor's appointment next week to see why he's losing that blood. So remember that. And Sister Anna Maruna gave me one that says, praise the Lord for being with my dad. She said this morning all was well, but the main thing she was giving the praise for is because he woke up. They put him to sleep, you know, to wake him up. And the problem is he has high blood pressure, so that's why they was kind of worried that he wouldn't wake up. So we thank the Lord for taking care of all those ones that need to be taken care of. So just remember that. I know we... Yes, sir.
Remember that pastor, Brother Joe Reynolds in Arkansas, that lost his daughter this past week in church
over there? Remember, there's a brother out in Arkansas lost his daughter, 16 years old, this past week. So remember that situation. Remember the family in those situations. So I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this afternoon, Lord. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling on highways, Lord. We've mentioned this morning, remember Wade and Brother Bob and Brother Louise. And if anyone else is traveling, Lord, just be with them and be with them also in the services there today also, Lord. Be with Brother Dick and Brother Al and Brother Darty and Brother Collie and Sister Jean and Sister Johnny, Lord. Just continue to bless those ones that we need a blessing, Lord. Just come down and be with them. Lord, be with all the other requests that was mentioned here. Ones from this morning and this afternoon. Be with them. Be with Dad. Give him strength. Lord, forgive us of all of our sins. We love you for you many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated.
Only believe. Yes, only believe, only believe, only believe, for all things are possible, only Jesus is here. Sing out a song, just worship him. I sing out a love song to Jesus. Oh, in moments like these, oh, I lift up my hands, just praise him. I lift up my hands to the Lord, singing, I love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord.
tell you, there's just nothing like just when things of life get you down, you just lift your hands and praise him and he'll come on the scene. Amen. Brother Mark, would you come this evening and take up the evening tithes and offering? Brothers back there, if they could pull up this song, I Know the Master of the Wind. Amen. You know, the scripture says when the enemy comes in like a flood, he'll raise up a standard. Amen. And that standard is our Lord Jesus. He's a master of every circumstance in our life. My boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Whenever there's a wind in my sail, but I have a Father, he watches over me. When the breeze turns into the gale, sometimes I soar like an eagle through the sky. Above the peaks my soul can be found. We've all been here. But an unexpected storm may drive me from the highs. It brings me low but never brings me down. That's the victory. Afternoon. Oh, I chorus once more.
And I know the master of the wind. Oh, I know the maker of the rain. And he can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind.
Amen. To know him is to know life. Amen. Let's brothers bring up the next one. Have you been beneath the fountain? Amen. We're so happy. There's a fountain flowing from Emmanuel's vein. Amen. And there's a place we can dwell up under for all of our healing and all of our joy.
There's a fountain that is flowing from a place called Calvary. There is healing in its waters, and there is joy and victory.
Fountain, there's no other say he's that eternal water that springs from that fountain. Amen. Let's pull up that song, I'll Stand for Jesus. Have you ever been a time in your life, and I know all of us have, because the scripture says every child of God that comes to the Lord will be tested, but you got to stand. You got to take a stand in front of someone to be a witness. Amen. He stood for us before the foundation of the world, and we're standing on his word to represent him. Amen. We'll start with the chorus. I'll stand for Jesus. Let the world go by. Brothers, could you pull up that worship song, I Fix My Eyes on You? And we'll sing this before our brother comes out this evening. This song came from Psalms 27:4. The scripture says, "One thing I've desired of the Lord, that I'll seek him. I will seek after that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold his beauty of the Lord to inquire in his temple." And Brother Bram used that scripture in the message, the rapture. And so it just really stuck out to me. And that's all of our desires. Amen. To dwell in his presence, dwell in his word, and behold his beauty that he may gain the preeminence. Amen. I fix my eyes on you, the author of my faith, casting aside every sin and every way. Oh, I fix my eyes on you, I lay my burdens down, letting the cares of this world now fade away. And one thing I ask, this one thing I seek, that I may dwell in your house, O Lord, my King. Oh, in all the days of my life, I want to gaze upon your beauty and seek you in this holy place. I fix my eyes on you, O, the author of my faith, casting aside every sin and every way. And I fix my eyes on you, O, I lay my burdens down, letting the care of this world just fade, let it all fade away. And one thing I ask, this one thing I seek, that I may dwell in your house, O Lord, my King. Oh, in all the days of my life, I want to gaze upon your beauty and seek you in this holy place. Let's all stand. Oh, and one thing I ask, this one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house, O Lord, King. Oh, in all the days of my life, I want to gaze upon your beauty and seek you in this holy place. Let's sing that chorus once more. Oh, one thing I ask is one thing I see, that I may dwell in your house, O Lord, my King. Oh, in all the days of my life, I want to gaze upon your beauty and seek you in this holy place. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Just to be in the presence of his word and gaze upon his beauty. Those are the revelations and things that he gives to his bride. Amen. Let's change the order of the service there as a brother comes this afternoon. Open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, and I want to see you. Oh, I want.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Amen.
Jesus, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory.
Amen.
So pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. So high and lifted up. Oh, you're shining in the light of your glory. So pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy.
See him, don't you? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your scripture. Now we'll come back to Peter, but I want to read a scripture in Habakkuk. Habakkuk. It'll be two and verse 4 in Habakkuk to just pick up the thought to where we can continue on like we were this morning, and all in the prayer to the Lord would bless. Remember now, the fellowship meeting will be at Brother Homer Longoria's on this coming Saturday, 3:30. So remember that. Wade and June are coming back sometime probably this afternoon after the evening service. And just remember them, Brother Bob and Brother Luis. They had them on video a while ago and they were going at it. So they're going to be probably late getting in tonight. So you just remember these that are traveling and everything. The Lord would be with each one. Amen. Habakkuk 2. Yeah. Father, we thank you for this day and thank you for the love that you have been so gracious to extend to each and every one of us, that you'd give us an opportunity to be able to just study your word, that we'd have a chance to be able to hear from heaven and be able to walk in the light of the grace of the love that has been given unto us in this last days. And Lord, knowing that thy word is true and that we walk in your light. Forgive our sins. Bless those that are traveling this afternoon and today, Lord, and just give them a safe journey home. And let us all walk in your light. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to just think on this and then we'll get back to it. The way the scripture is spoken. Now, in Romans 1:17, it says, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11 says, the just shall live by faith. In Hebrews 10:38, it says, the just shall live by faith. But I want you to notice what it says here in Habakkuk. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. It's always talking about the faith, the faith. Now it says by his faith. Amen. Let's just, you may be seated and just remember. Lord willing, we'll be trying to, if we can, to finish up a little bit by this coming Wednesday on the topics and things that we've been on about stature of perfect man. So pray that the Lord would bless and give us the right understanding to be able to present it. Okay. Now we talked this morning. We studied about the fact of knowing that, if you're born again by faith, because that's the only way the prophet would tell us we are born again. He said, faith, have faith, stature of perfect man, have faith and be born again. All right. So then the faith at the bottom of the pyramid as we see it is the new birth. Okay. Now that new birth, is what it was has been within ever born again believer down through ever age and time, ever person who is born or was born again or is born again the same way. And it's born again by faith. By faith in God and believing, all right? And accepting it and, you know, realizing that He has paid the price, done the work, done, finished everything up, and then we can walk in the light of His love and see. And as I said, we quoted from Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews that we know the just shall live by faith. All right? Now, that is not your faith. Your faith is really your faithfulness to believe God. Okay, now follow the point. Your faith is your point of you believing God, accepting Him for what He has done for you, and believing Him and having faith in God. All right? Now, that's a wonderful thing, but that will not save you. It takes His faith to save you. That's why I read Habakkuk. See, for the just shall live by His faith. All right? So it takes His faith to bring the new birth into being. And His faith transmitted into you, all right? Now it makes you, and we'll bring it back in a minute and go over it again, it makes His faith living in you in a new birth. All right? Now, being that new birth, then it puts His faith in you. All right? Now that's just not your faithfulness then. It's by putting His faith in you, then the just shall live by faith, but it's living by His faith. All right. Now, when we finish the message up, we'll try to get back to that point in a minute. You'll see the what I'm talking about, that the just shall live by His faith. When it becomes your faith, then you got something to talk about. Okay, so now let's hold that point, the thought that we were trying to bring this morning to see what our point of the message and realizing, you know, the thing. All right, what did we talk about this morning? The prophet said the message paradox. The new birth is a mystery. He said, just like the natural birth is a mystery. The new birth is a mystery because we do not have it or keep it in line. He said we belittle it. You remember? We belittle the new birth. Why? Because we don't count it to be what it really is. It has to be Him coming and living in us that gives us a new birth. All right? Now, that's His faith coming into you to give a birth to the Word or the revelation. See, and doing. All right, now what was our point this morning then? All the virtues in the stature of a perfect man. All right? Those virtues in the stature of a perfect man all are added to your faith. Okay, we'll get back to that and read it in a minute in the scripture. But add to your faith. All right? Now remember, it's not just your faithfulness to believe God. If something else has went beyond our faithfulness, our confession, we must do that. We must confess Him as our Savior. We must believe Him as our Savior. We must walk in that. And that is our faithfulness in ourselves, you know, our human beings of believing God and accepting what God has done for us and giving us the new birth. All right. But then when my faith, if I can hold on long enough, see, then God can come to that faith and quicken that faith and make it the alive word. Right? Amen. And see, then it becomes not His faith. We'll get to back to this in a minute. It becomes our faith. You say, yeah, but you just twisted it around. I said it the way I wanted to. We've got to have something that where He can come and live in us. Right? That gives us a new birth. But see, you say, well, then it's his faith in me. That's true. Well, that's exactly right. It's his faith living in you. But then, see, we need for it to become our faith. And not just our faithfulness to believe him. We need for it to become us. All right, think on that now as we'll get back to the point. Now, what was we talking about? All the virtues are of the same material. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, you know, and all. It's the same material. You don't have something that the prophet said, statue of a perfect man. He said you can't have it to where that you try to vulcanize a piece of rubber to a piece of metal. He said it can't be. See, it's got to be the same. All right. So then each one of those virtues, now watch what I'm saying. If it was something different, you would have a problem because you'd be trying to add it to the other. And you couldn't say, well, add to your faith virtue. Well, see, don't try to make that something different. Make it the same material. That may not be a good way for you to understand, but it's the best I can do to think about it. That it's the same material. All right? See, then if it's the same material, then it will help us to be able, maybe the Lord Wednesday, to be able to comprehend how to let these virtues come and live in us in the correct way and give us the right understanding. All right? See, then the new birth brings your soul to eternal life. All right? Gives you a new birth, which is the birth of the Word. The Word you've took, you've held it, you know, and God has made it alive. He's quickened it. All right? Then, as doing that, then, we know that it has to be the same. And I want to emphasize this. That the new birth, as I've expressed to you over and over and over, it can't be one thing in one age and something else in another age. Right? If it is, then you're changed somewhere. The new birth is the new birth in each age. The prophet even preached a message there, our whole thing on the Holy Ghost in each age. All right? See, the new birth is the baptism of the Holy Ghost in each age, making the word that you've heard in that age come alive. All right, now, think simple now. If that be true, that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the word being made alive. Right? See? Then, and that everybody has the same new birth, you're not looking for different things in different ages. And see, you'll look at it, and that's, I know how the human mind works and all, but mine don't work too awfully good. But, see, people want to try to make, well, Luther and them just had this. Wesley and them just had this. And these people had this, but they didn't have this. See? Don't get tied up into those things. You would be belittling the Holy Ghost in whatever age you would put it. See? By letting it not be of the same value. The new birth is the new birth. What is the new birth? Justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the new birth. All right. We must go through those three processes to have the new birth.
Right.
All right. Now, so if it is right that each age has that new birth, all right, then it would be a very simple matter to understand, you know, what has taken place in mankind.
Yes.
Because no matter what age it is, God had to do the same thing. He had to come down, justify, sanctify and fill the individual. See, I know the mind of people and how they think. Yeah, but Luther and Wesley and them, they just had justification. Their justification was the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right. Amen.
What else are you going to make it? Are your prophets wrong when he said the Holy Ghost in each age? You see, what you're doing with it, you're tearing it down or belittling it to where that you're making it something that it's not and not thinking about how simple it is. Now, how simple it is. Do you realize that if you want, if you're going to try to believe that, that we must all go through justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost to have the new birth? Now, I believe that, and that's the way I teach it. I believe that's the way the prophet taught it. Amen. That's why I teach it that way, because I believe it's what he said. All right? Now, if that's true, look how simple it is. See, when I read, like I said this morning, reading that quote from the prophet that new birth, that you're born again by faith, that's the new birth. You say, yeah, but I didn't get no revelation. I don't remember when I got a revelation. I just was there and this happened to me. Well, don't do away with this happening to me. All right? Don't think that I'm trying to do away with anything. I'm trying to put it in order. Now, you're going to have to talk to the Lord about this because it's between you and him, not me. I believe it. If every new birth is justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost, then look how simple it is. God come down, offered you eternal life. Right? Justification, starting you off. Sanctification to cleanse you and set you aside. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You went through that. Now listen. We went through those things and, you know, us Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, etc. We taught nothing about justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. We never taught three works of grace or three stages of grace. We just believed it. We accepted it. It was just this. It was that. At least the Pentecostals was believing of justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I don't mean them all. I don't mean everything. But the biggest portion of your Pentecostals believed in three stages of grace. Now, am I right? You older ones, you that come through Pentecost, at least some form or other, you went through those talking about it, nothing else. All right? But see, it was three things that happened. But you didn't call it justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost all the time. But you called it an experience with God. Well, all right. God come down and called you. Right? Now, no man can come to God unless God calls him. Right? All right. Now, if nobody can come unless God calls you, well, look how simple it is. There's your revelation. That's what I drove at hard, beating it, hammering it. That faith, that you can't be saved without faith. You can't be saved without a revelation. Well, I didn't have no revelation. You come to the Lord, didn't you? You accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, didn't you? Well, would that not be faith? Would that not be what I've been talking about? A revelation? Yes. Then you realize that, hey, you know, I need to quit this. I need to quit that. I mean, we did at least have enough Baptists about us to be able to preach a little bit about those things. To give up some of the things. I mean, you know, we got delivered. You know what delivered you? The revelation that Jesus Christ had cleansed your soul. Amen. Now, I'm trying to get you to see what I drove at and it went, seemed like blank. All right? To get you to see what a revelation really is. Then you're not having to say, well, what book do I need to read to get a revelation of the new birth? Amen. Well, I told you this morning the book you ought to read, you ought to just read the Bible. That's a good place to start. And your prophet said, read your Bible and pray. Amen. All right. So you don't realize you went through stages. You know. In other words, I say, okay, come up and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Huh? So you come up and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's a revelation. You're accepting the fact that he died for you. There's a revelation to you. Then you're going through life and you realize, hey, I don't need to be doing these things. Somebody maybe preaches on it or something is said, something you, oh, I don't need to be doing these things. I need to quit this drinking, smoking. So it's, you know, well, that's a revelation to you. Do you see the simplicity that I'm trying to make it? And then you say, well, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, all right. You believed and accepted it. And God accepted you and gave you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's a revelation of Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
Do you understand? That's what I'm trying to explain. That's a revelation. You're looking for something that you walk through because I believe that. I've always told you, what was it this morning? House of Cornelius. Right through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just in one little message. 3,000 outside. Right to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just by hearing a message. But the disciples went 3.5 years. Right? Now, do you understand what I'm saying? Some people go through real quick. Some people, it takes a longer time. I don't know what to express the wording of it, but it takes a longer time. I was 2 years in after coming into the message before I accepted anything to be called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, you believe the message, you was doing this, you was doing that. You was baptized correctly. Why don't? Because I knew that we weren't talking about what this prophet was talking about. You say, what's wrong, Brother Dale? What's your opinion of why that we're here 50 years after the prophet's come? What's your opinion, you and me? So you're not seeing what I'm talking about on the point. What caught me in this message? One thing was a man that was so honest that he'd tell his own stories of his life, of the things that he'd done wrong. You didn't get preachers to admit that. They wanted to tell how good they was. But I mean, he didn't mind telling you how he done this and how he done that and things was wrong and he had to repent and he had to do. That was number one. But number two was a man talking about a living God. He was talking about something alive. He wasn't talking about over yonder we're going to get to heaven. It's what we Baptists, one day we'll get to heaven if we're doing good. Methodists, if we're okay, if we don't, we'll just jump up and down from justification to sanctification. And somewhere in there maybe we can get cleansed one day. And if we happen to fall right and die, we might go to heaven. The prophet never talked like that. He talked of a reality of eternal life right here.
Yes, sir. Amen. That's right.
See? That was a wonderful thing to me. I'm not looking for something to come. If I never can quote anything else, let me quote the one thing Brother Brown said and quote it for myself. I'm not looking for the coming of the Lord. I've preached it to you for 50 years. The new birth. The Lord started his descending. He started all the things he was doing when he come into you in a new birth. You were on your way to heaven and didn't realize it. Everything was settled. Eternal life had already begun here We Baptists will, I hope I'm saved. Maybe I'm saved. I don't know. You know, I hope so. I feel like it sometimes. Sometimes I don't feel like it too good. You say, I didn't talk like that. Well, I hate to call you a liar so many times, but that's all right. I'll just do it one more. Because I know the human mind and how we work. We all come through basically some form of something like that, looking for something way out. And hoping one of these days to get to that place. That prophet never taught like that. When I'm listening to him, I'm listening to him, and it sounds like to me in my understanding, it sounds like that we're up in heaven already. How much closer can you get to heaven than having eternal life in your soul? Right? What else would you want? If you've got eternal life in your soul. See? There's no way to die. There's no way to be lost. I like the way Brother Moore had a saying things, and it don't sound good, but it made a good point. He said, you can't sin enough to be lost if you're born again. I don't know where some of you probably remember him saying that, but it was just the truth. You can't be lost if you're born again. Now here comes a point you might not be born again. Now that might be the whole case. But that ain't got nothing to do with the statement of the truth of what it was. See? You say, yeah, but you're not going to sin after being a Christian. Well, now you want all evening to stay where the prophet said we sin every day. How much do you want to say of him saying you backslide every day? Well, you're throwing off on the prophet. No, he's the one that said it. Am I throwing off on him? No, I'm saying what he said. Because that was the honesty of the man that caught me. The basics of the Bible and the things. I had a decent understanding. Maybe you don't understand what I mean when Brother Moat said, if you just could, you know, knew much about a prophet, then maybe we could talk on these things. And Brother Branham was a prophet. I said, look, don't tell me about the things you saw. He said, I've seen the sick healed, the dead raised, the thing. I said, don't tell me that, because I wasn't there. But I said, tell me what the man taught in the Bible. I'll know whether or not he was a prophet by the Bible. Because I at least had that much understanding. You know the story of it, and they don't like me telling the things, but forget it. When I read the Bible the first time, and I really read it on this basis, if I'm going to be a Christian, I need to know the Word. That was the basis I took it on. And I started reading. I come to Malachi 4, and I told my wife, I said, according to my understanding, what I'm reading here, that in the end time, there's going to be two prophets come. Well, see, I had Malachi 3, Malachi 4. Well, I got no way to straighten it out. When Brother Moldy said, Brother Brandon was a prophet, I said, well, where's that at in the Bible? See, we Baptists, we didn't take too much on to being having prophets. We'd accept a teacher occasionally. We'd accept a pastor and an evangelist. But we didn't deal with apostles and prophets. Well, they didn't exist to us Baptists. So when he said that, I said, where is it at in the Word? And he told me Malachi 4. Well, you know what I said? I said to him, I said, all right, we get this Malachi 3. I want to know about Malachi 4. Or excuse me, I went to Malachi 4 and I said, I want to know about Malachi 3. He said, that's John the Baptist. I said, okay. So we got that straight. See, I run into somebody that knew a little bit about the Bible. And he says, that's Malachi 3. It's John the Baptist. And he took me through the scripture, Luke 1:17 or whatever. It's coming through the, you know. I had read those things and studied them, and I knew what the Bible said about those things. I'm just saying that to you. Was you looking for a prophet to come? In your understanding of the Bible, was you looking for a prophet to come? I didn't know what I was looking for. I just knew that the Bible said it. Well, then when I saw God when I was 11 years old, all right, from that day on, I wanted to see that God. And when I heard this man starting preaching, there was that man that was in that building talking to me. To a man's message that he was bringing. I wasn't looking for that God anymore. I could see him in a man. Because at least there's one thing about it. He talked about a God I could do. I could kind of associate with that. I told you about it. I told some of them I was a deacon, 23 years old, you know, and I told some of them there one day about it, some things, and that God had spoke to him about, and this old deacon, he said, you need to go to Pentecostal church. Well, see, I didn't know it. He was telling me the truth. But I didn't have no way of knowing he was telling me the truth. I never did get to the Pentecostal church. I come right on to this message. All right? Now, church, listen. All those virtues are of the same material. It's all the revealed word. It's the word made alive. Okay? Now, in doing that and it being that word made alive to you and I, then think about what it says. So go ahead, if you will, brothers, and pull up 2 Peter 1. Because I want you to follow a line. All right? Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Now, how long did we dwell on that? Like precious faith. Like precious faith means the same faith, right? Is that true now? A like precious faith means the same faith. So now, everybody's got the same new birth. Every new birth is the same. It's like precious faith. Amen. Right? Come on now. With us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, grace and peace are multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Savior, according as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the what? Divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The new birth gives you his divine nature. It's the same like precious faith. It's the same faith. Come on, why don't we listen to Brother Branham? He said the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I may misquote this a hair, but it'd be close. He said the baptism of the Holy Ghost that you now have within you is the same baptism of the Holy Ghost that walked on the shores of Galilee. The same Holy Ghost you have living in you is the same Holy Ghost, he said, that was in the early church. See, that's where we don't want to believe that. There's something within our human abilities that cuts off when that is stated. Why? The Bible says there's one faith, one Lord, one baptism. That's right. One God and Father of us all, and in you all. Right? So look, those of like precious faith, in other words, the same faith. So ever born again believer has the same new birth, the same faith, amen, the same revealed word. And each one of them had justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the three stages, and each one is a revelation in that stage. Right. I can remember when God took the world from me. Right? I can remember when I come to the Lord. But you see, that's why I know all of these things. Brother Brown said, don't go back to somebody and try to get them to come to the church or get them to come to the Lord. I've told you about it. My sister, she came to me in the church there one night in a revival we was having. And I guess we was already married, yeah. And she said, Samuel said, you need to go to the Lord. Get to the Lord. Said, now, you know J.C., which was her husband. He got killed in a car wreck. Said, you know J.C.? Said, he was lost. Now, but said, he won't never be saved. Said, he is lost. Well, you know what? I thought more of his life and doing, because I lived with him day by day. Sure, he had his problems. But I know she had more problems than he had problems. So she wasn't the one that needed to be coming and talking to me. I've told you about the deacons coming to my house to try to get me to come to the Lord and get saved. And I told them, I said, look, I'm living a better life than your deacon board is living. And they certainly didn't want me to tell us stories of all the things I knew. Well, see, I'm serious. But one day something struck within my heart and said, you're letting the church get in your way. When Brother Branham said that years later and I heard him, I knew exactly what he talking about. He said, we let the church get in our way. And I thought, God, that's exactly what I done. I let the church keep me from coming to you. And I was already coming up toward this message time by then. You know, getting close to coming into the message. You see, that's why I know what the new birth is. I don't confess my new birth is just I walked up and shook the preacher's hand. My new birth, I can put it right through the Bible from where I started in my whole Christian journey. And walk right down through my Christian journey right out to where I am now. And know that God is real. I've met that God. And I'm not talking about Brother Branham being that God. I'm talking about Brother Branham brought me to that God. He's not that God, but he brought me to God. I don't care what you tell me he done or is, you know, or whatever. You can come up with all these tales all you want to. I'm going to tell you to get on and leave me alone. Because the man brought me to God. Thank God for that. And I can honor him on that basis and say, I don't believe all these stories then about it. Because I know what he done. He was a human mortal that made human mistakes. Right. But I'll admit to this much. He was the closest thing that we'll ever see to God while in this journey of life. I will admit to that. Because that's what I'm trying to tell you about. Trying to get you to see about, well, God is real. And that he's give everybody the new birth that wants it and receives it. It's for you. Well, how do I accept what I do? Just start praying. Just ask God to forgive you. Just ask him to accept you. You've accepted him. Say, Lord, I've accepted you as my Savior. Now you accept me. Oh, boy. If you've seen what I got here, I throwed all that away. But listen. Now let's get to the one point for this afternoon. If it's true that everyone's faith is the same, then everyone would have to go through justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost to get where they're at. Now, if that's not true, I want somebody to tell me. I want no shortcut. You know what I mean? I want to know a shortcut to this thing if I can find one. But I ain't going to find no shortcut. It's all the same. Everybody's responsible the same. Right? Make your calling and election sure. Right? Search out God for yourself. And you'll find out he's been searching for you the whole time. Right? But listen. See, then, if it's true, then, as we were reading coming down, we didn't get all the way down, but that's okay. But if you will, pull that up, brothers, and we'll go over to verse 8 and get started and try to get through. Side this, giving all diligence, verse 5, right? Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you neither, you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever read the ninth verse? Can you pull it on up, brothers, and get the ninth verse? Have you ever read the ninth verse? Okay. You know what it says? But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Okay? Now, what's the point? If you're born again, okay, you're getting it? But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now remember the point though. If you have the faith, the like precious faith, the born again experience, you can never be lost. So it's not saying what we're reading. We read that for what we think. But he that lacketh these things is blind. How could you have the things? How could Peter be saying of like precious faith and divine nature and adding these things to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, faith? How could he be saying that and then say what we think he said? We think he said we can be lost. That's not what he's saying. It's impossible to be lost if you're truly born again. Amen. So why don't you read it correctly? He that lacketh these things is blind. If I'm born again and all I have is faith, I'm still pretty blind. So are you. Because you don't have eyes to see. You see what I'm talking about? We want to read it one way instead of reading it the correct way. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now come on. If you have one virtue, I know this is carnal, but I'll give you the pulpit to explain that scripture if you'll just give me the opportunity to ask you a couple of questions. That's all I ask in return. All I ask is, if you have the divine nature, if you have the like precious faith, and Peter had it, and then he turns around and tells us, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. All right? For if these things be in you and abound, heap up, you know, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If these virtues are in you, there's no way you can be lost. Now get to scripture. But he that lacketh these things, if I have one virtue, I don't lack these virtues. I have one. You say, you sure are carnal. You explain it. He can't be saying that you can be lost. You can't be lost. It's just telling you He that lacketh these things is blind. If I don't have some of these things, I'm blind. But if I have one, that's all I need. Right? If I have the new birth, I can never be lost. So he's not talking about me. But if I lack all of these things, don't have any of these things, I am blind. And cannot see afar off. And, right? But if I have one of them, just the new birth. Oh, you talk about something. That ain't Baptist folks. That ain't that old once saved, always saved thing. But Brother Branham said, if it's truly once saved, then you are saved. Right? Come on, let's quote him. He that lacketh these things. If you lack every one of them, yes, you're lost. You can't see afar off. But if you got one of them, and that's who the man's talking to up here. He's talking to the church. Wherefore, to rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Make sure you're saved. Now, you can be upset with me all you want to about me hollering and screaming and repeating myself to you. And you say, well, he just turned down my experience that I had. He's taking away my hopes that I had. Well, there ain't much hopes if it's just built on something flim-flamsy. And your prophet would call it that if it's built on anything that you can say you've done. If we put our salvation on anything we've done or didn't do, where has he got anything to do with it? Do you understand what I'm saying here? If you don't have these things, sure, you're totally lost. Cannot see afar off and forgotten that you was purged, or forgotten that you had a Christian journey, or that you got justified, or you got, you know. But he that lacketh, but if I have one of them, I don't lack them. If I have the new birth, I can't be lost. You're talking about salvation to a Baptist. You're talking about eternal security. When I heard that prophet explain eternal security, I wasn't a Baptist no longer. I didn't have them ideas in my mind. I had what he's saying. He's telling me, hey, if you're truly born again, you can never be lost. Come on. If you got one thing, if you got the new birth, that's not talking about you. Now, let's get down to the serious part of it now. Back up now, brothers. Verse 5. Come back down to verse 5. It says, a very odd statement. It says, add to your faith. It don't say add his faith. Come on. He says, add to your faith. But you see, my faith of my human ability is just my ability to believe God and stay onto that. So that's not what he's talking about. Add to your faith. Right? But can't you see? If you have the new birth, he has given you his faith.
Right. Amen.
Right? If you have the new birth, he has given you his faith.
Right.
Huh? But it says there to add to your faith. Brother Branham off of a message called Oneness. He's talking about Mary and the seed of the woman. Remember the seed of the woman? Remember, woman don't have no seed.
Right?
So when it was back in Genesis, I'll put enmity between thy seed and the seed of the woman. That was a promise of the coming Messiah.
Amen.
Right now? Come on. That was the promise. Genesis 3:15, I guess, was the first definite promise of the coming Messiah. I'll put enmity between thy seed, the seed of the woman. The woman doesn't have a seed. She was given a seed.
Amen.
But you know what? Once she was given that seed, it became her seed. Because Jesus Christ is the seed of the woman. Right? He's the seed of the woman. It's not the seed of the woman that he gave her. No. He gave her his seed. It became her seed. Now, in that same reference is of Mary. He said he gave it or give it to her. Then it's her seed. Now watch him. This is my eye. That's what I'm reading.
Right.
He said, God gave it to me.
Right.
It's my eye.
Right?
He gave me my arm.
Right.
I'm reading. This is my hand. He gave it to me. This is my voice. He gave it to me. And the seed that was Mary had nothing to do. It was something God did himself. I'll put enmity between thy seed and the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman was Jesus Christ. Given to Mary, it became her seed. Right? This is my eye. God gave it to me. It's my eye. Now are you reading? Add to your faith.
Right.
Because God gave it to you.
That's right.
Amen. But once he gave it to you, it becomes yours.
Yes.
He ain't an Indian giver. Come on.
Amen.
He ain't an Indian giver. He ain't going to take it back. That's why you can't be lost if you have it. That's why I said that can't be laying right of what I'm thinking. He that lacketh these things, you can't put that in the new birth. See? This is my eye. God gave it to me. He gave me the new birth. Now are you with me? He gave you the new birth. It belongs to you. Now watch it be the same material. It does not say that he gave. It does not say in the writing of the Bible. Let's see how this is faith. Add to your faith. It doesn't say add to your virtue. It doesn't say add to your knowledge. Brother Branham uses that a way, and it's correct. But it doesn't say that there. It just says add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. Why? Because it's emphasizing more that it's the same thing. Virtue is the same thing as faith. Because it is eternal life. It is the word that is revealed. Virtue. The word revealed. Knowledge. The word revealed. But it doesn't say add to your, add to your, add to your. It doesn't have to because it already gave it to you. When he gave you his faith, and you accepted that as your Savior, then that's your faith.
Right.
It belongs to you.
Right.
Why don't you take it that way?
Amen.
You see, church, that's the positive point that I'm telling you. That when I heard this prophet, I quit looking out yonder.
Yep.
Well, I didn't look. Well, maybe you didn't know how nothing about looking. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm just trying to tell you to get off of that stage of trying to think different. I'm just telling you the truth. I quit looking at heaven. I quit 40 years ago trying to go to heaven. Listen, I'll go ahead with this. I'm not looking for the rapture. Oh, you know? No, because the Bible says the dead's got to raise first. So the resurrection's got to come before the rapture. Quit looking for the rapture. The resurrection is the next thing. Then the rapture comes after that. See, get it right. Then you'll be in order of what you're doing. I'm not looking for some kind of something here that, oh, one of these days that rapture is going to take place. You hear the preachers preaching and not even thinking about what they're saying. You realize you bypassed the resurrection? If you're not putting it there as importance, then it must not be important to you. But the resurrection is the next thing. Right? Don't run over there. The next one is the tribulation. No, don't get over there now. Get off of it and get in the line.
Right.
The next thing to the bride is the resurrection.
Amen.
We sure hopefully don't believe we're going to be here in the tribulation. No. Surely we don't believe that. So the next thing is the resurrection. Now, I'm going to say this and I'll drop back and just quit. He said, why are we looking for something to come instead of looking at what's here? The prophet made a statement one day. He said, I'm not looking for his coming. You remember that? He said, I'm not looking for his coming. Why? Because it was there to him.
Right. Amen.
See, he had something positive.
Right.
He wasn't looking for something to come. He was looking at what it was. And knowing it was already there. Like I've always said to you, maybe it don't mean anything. I'm sorry, but I just say it. Maybe it don't mean anything, some things the prophet says. But you realize he made a statement on the rapture message. He said, it has been spoken. Now let it come to pass. Now, here's the way I think. He was looking at something positive. Right?
Right?
He wasn't looking for negative. No. He was looking at something positive. Do you realize if he'd have never said that, there'd have never been a rapture? He spoke it into existence. That's how much I believe. That he spoke it into existence. It would be the capable of coming to pass. When the people believe it. Now, and quit looking for it. But looking at it. There's a lot of difference in looking for something and looking at something. What do you think? I think we've been around here 50 years for the purpose of Almighty God to fulfill His Word in somebody. It ain't been no haphazardly, no problems, no this, that, or the other. He knew before the world ever begun it was going to be that way. He hasn't had to add any time to it. He hasn't had to take any time away from it. It's all that's exactly online. And when somebody realizes it, may I quote it this way? What are we supposed to do? Now, Brother Colley, he's been diagnosed as sick. All right? He had a good point. Doctor said, well, somebody said, you'll die with this or something. told him some way. He said, "Why does it matter if I die with that or something else?" Now, I may mix up his words and get it, but it's pretty close. He was plainly telling that doctor, why did it make any difference? If I die this or I die that, what would make a difference? Huh? That's positive. Just put it back to him and just say, thank you. By his stripes, I'm healed. And just walk into it. Well, if it don't never come to pass, I'll meet you on the other side.
That's right.
Like what old Brother Howard Carroll said. He said, the age I'm getting, he said, somebody, now if I misquote it, it's pretty close, but he said, something's got to happen to me pretty quick because I'm going one way or the other.
Right.
Well, I think that's about a lot of us. Wade was, what was it he was reading the other night, and Brother Joe can probably give it to us, but he was telling how many people here is 70 and above. There's a lot of us. It's almost the largest single group. I think it's 25 to 50 or something is the largest group. You know, amount of people. There's a lot of people here. Everybody that's 70 years old, raise your hand. Hey, I'm looking at least 30 hands or something. But what has that got to do with it? Right? I never thought I'd get this old. I never wanted to get this old. And I enjoy life. I do. I enjoy living. But I never thought I'd get here. But that's the way the Lord made it. So I'm supposed to be happy about it. Right? Like I've always said, I told it in the fellowship meetings, you know, that if we didn't get away from here pretty quick, we're going to start having fellowship meetings in a nursing home. Well, if we don't get out of here pretty quick, there's going to be a lot of us in a nursing home. Well, you know what? Terrence has already got one picked out. He's looking forward. He kind of looks forward on things. He said, you know, we're the dumbest people. Let me say this real quick. Come on, musician. He was talking one day. He said, you know, we're the dumbest people that's ever been. I said, I knew he meant something, you know. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, when Brother Branham was here, he said gold was like $35 an ounce. You know, back in his day. He said, he told us all the gold is going to Rome.
Right.
He said, if we'd have just took $10,000 and bought gold, he said, look where we would be. Right? I mean, you realize how many million that would be? Billions, probably. We don't believe Brother Branham. You say, oh, yeah, we do. No, we don't. We believe what we want to believe. Okay. Forgive me for that. All right. Go ahead, Brother Joe.
Let's sing that little song. Let's stand together. Heaven to me.
Keep in mind what we're talking about.
We find many people who can't understand why we are so happy and free.
You're not down and out about the age for them, though.
Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. This is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan
to Canaan. The most important thing to me is to think about.
And this is like heaven to
me. I can read the word of God and understand it when the Bible itself said even the prophets and sages couldn't understand.
The devil don't believe it.
Yet we've been given the right to understand God's word. But they couldn't even understand it. Because see, they couldn't see the end. We can see the end of all things. As I said a while ago, and I dropped my thought, what? Resurrection. The prophet said, your resurrection is inside of you.
I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is
why would we worry? Anybody have a need?
Heaven to me.
This is like heaven to me. Add to your faith. And if virtue's not the same, it won't add, your prophet said. You can't add something that's not true.
Why we are so happy and free.
We've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. And this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me.
Praise God.
This is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. And this is like heaven to me.
Oh, when I get happy, I sing and I shout. The devil don't believe it, I see.
What are you doing? I don't need a word. He can't understand
it.
He can't understand
it. This is like
matter. What about us?
With me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. This is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. And this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Praise God. This is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land.
Jesus Christ, we send these prayers, Father. Your loving grace to this neighbor that our sister is concerned about. Let your love be there and make manifest your word in Jesus' name.
I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. And this is like heaven to me. Oh, when I get happy, I sing and I shout.
Just walk
the
on
devil
into it.
Don't believe it, I
confess
see.
Confess it, walk into it.
But I'm filled with the Spirit, there isn't a doubt. And that's what's the matter with me.
Father, we thank you for today, and we ask you to just go with us now as we go home. Give everybody a safe journey, Lord. Take care of everything, the old cars and all the traffic and things. Be with Wade and June and them coming home, Bob and Luis and their families and things, Lord. Just touch each one. And Father, let your grace and love be there. Be with the sick ones among us. And Lord, just reach down and touch each one. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. And this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Praise God. This is like heaven to me. I've crossed over.